for giving us the knowledge through your Son, Jesus Christ, our only Savior, by the instruction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, of you as our God, and of Jesus Christ as our wonderful Savior and Redeemer. Thank you for the birth of water and of the Spirit. Thank you for calling us away from the world of sin and darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for changing our hearts and mind and body and souls, our love, our will, our life, our purpose after your own. And thank you for giving us the privilege to be your children, ambassadors of righteousness through the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you know all of our hearts and mind and soul today. You know about all of our needs, all of our distresses, all of our fears and worries, all of our frustrations. We bring all these and all others that we are not aware of to thee, and we lay it before you on the altar of grace. May you grant us your holy knowledge and your comfort. Grant us your divine and holy peace at all times, and your wisdom to know and to do your blessed good will and pleasure. May you speak to our heart today as we pray for ourselves and our families, for the church and all nations and leaders of the world, that the gift and the power of your love unto salvation come upon all nations to convict them of that which is good in thy sight and that which is evil. Convict them of sin and its consequences upon them, upon their families, upon their communities, and show them the ways of righteousness in thy sight and the blessing thereof upon them and upon their families and their communities. And for those of them, Lord, who cry upon thee for help, may you save them and deliver them along with the rest of us from sin and self, Satan, the world of destruction. For those, O Lord, who refuse to hear your voice of life, may you have mercy upon them. And may you continue to work on their salvation, but may you protect the rest of us from their rebellious spirit. And may you guide us to be lights to the world all the days of our life on earth. Now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be fully sanctioned, hallowed, and blessed by your Holy Spirit as you come upon us to guide us and to show us your ways of life and blessing and life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, let us open Romans chapter 12 as we do a quick review, and also B gave me something this morning, a little article by the title, The Call to Serve. And I read it and I said, wow, it's just very applicable to what we are studying here, and there is a very important lesson for us to learn from this article as well. If you noticed, even though we're studying about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I began that with the teaching of the birth of Jesus and the gift of his salvation. Why is that? There is absolutely no gifts of the Spirit until we have sought the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ from our sin and from our own human sinful nature and from Satan's snares, oppression, and position. Because if we are not born again through faith in Jesus Christ, and if we don't confess our sins so humbly every day, and if we don't ask the Lord Jesus to take over our lives, we end up serving in the church as instrument of destruction. Did you hear me? Many people serving in many churches throughout the world under the control of Satan himself. And you wonder why. How could that be possible? If you read the Old Testament in all the stories, if you read the New Testaments, even when Jesus came on earth, there were leaders in the church and in the sanctuary, and there were leaders in the synagogue when Jesus came on earth who were under the control of Satan to the destruction of great many believers. And through the work of Satan in them,
They crucified even Jesus Christ the Lord. Often we heard that it was the Romans who crucified Christ. That's not true. It is his own people. The people who believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why it's quite serious. We really have to ask ourselves, which spirit is guiding us in worship and in service? And this is where this article comes handy. I want to read this, since the Lord led me to give me two articles this morning, and this is one of them. It says the call to serve. The author here is quoting Philippians chapter 2, 7 to 9, in which I'm familiar with the verses. He says, when it comes to serving in the church, people rarely request positions where they will go unnoticed. Which is really true, where I served for a great many years before the Lord led us to missions of compassion. It is so true. When you have a nominating committee and trying to elect people into offices, usually people are easier to accept a position where they will be noticed, a nice title attached to it. Then they would choose a place of service that is not noticed. For instance, we noticed that all of the offices of the sanctuary, whether it's deacons, elders, where people stand up to speak in front of the congregation, people accept those quicker. But if we ask for someone to work in the children's department, or in the kitchen, or in nursing homes, those are the most difficult positions to fill. So the author is bringing this out here. It says that mostly people like to work in a leadership position when they are noticed. Now, there is nothing wrong with heading a committee. But God calls us to have a servant's heart. But God calls us to have a servant's heart. He desires that our motive be to glorify him and not ourselves. And that's something I thrived very strongly to develop at Missions of Compassion. Okay? We don't have rosters. We don't have those big titles. We kind of eliminated the thrive for prominency. We encourage humility, because if you are not humble, God cannot use you. But through your own life of pride and arrogance, he will make an example of you before others, and that is biblical truth. Okay? Over the years, I've had many conversations with young men studying at the seminary. Countless times, they share the desire to lead a sizable church. And those who are called to a small congregation frequently struggle with feelings of insignificance. This is very true. This is very true. And I kind of visited great many churches and great many denominations to find that somehow to be true. There's a pastor who is leading a small congregation. He feels inadequate, insignificant, unimportant. Maybe he is not fulfilling God's purpose. Okay. And there are those others who are thriving for mega churches or to serve in a big church. I just right away, you should know that it is not the Holy Spirit that is guiding you. There's absolutely no failure when the Spirit of God is in us. So he continues, my encouragement to them is this. In his great love, God places us where he wants us to serve. And every task we undertake should be given our all. Whether there is one person listening or a multitude, we ultimately serve Jesus Christ the Lord. And he is not concerned with the recognition we receive. No, you know, when you grow more mature in Jesus, the less attention you get, the much better of a Christian you become. And the more attention you get, the heavier the burden and the responsibility that you feel. and he is not concerned with the recognition we receive. He desires our obedience and our best effort. This is true not just for pastors, but for all believers who are gifted by the Spirit, as we have studied. There are many reasons the Lord called us to serve. First, he rids us of pride and selfishness, allowing our focus to be on him. Remember last week we talked about sluggard Christians who are so self-centered. Everything is about them. Life is so easy. Okay? They don't serve unless they feel beaten up so hard. God give us the opportunity to serve so we can die of pride and self-centeredness. That's what the reason for service. It's actually the greatest gift. Pride does what? It destroys us. It destroys us from the inside out. Mm-hmm. Who is the author of pride?
Satan.
You got it. What happened to him?
He fell down.
When he was a shallow being. Pride and arrogance caused him to be discontent.
Wow.
When you become discontent, you always want something else. And this is not something we want. So service allows us the opportunity to die of pride and selfishness. If you are serving and you recognize that you are warring with pride, and I tell you, I was so blessed to share the blessing of knowledge and how to teach the gospel to several people. And there is a gentleman who loved to study the Bible. And you know, I can tell that God is calling him to be a teacher of the gospel. And I myself, after passing it to him the knowledge, have been a recipient of God's blessing through him. But he's got that problem that he wrestled with up until now. And he shares with me, he said, I don't know why it's a problem. When he teaches the Bible, he always wants to get some kind of feedback.
Oh.
If he doesn't get a feedback, or if the people looking down like that are not paying attention, he feels somehow that he failed.
Oh, no.
And he often come and ask, did I say everything right? You see the problem there? You see, the problem is, it's not about us. It's about Christ in us. When I preach the gospel, my job is a messenger. How the Holy Spirit is working in you, on you, that is not my responsibility. I know what God said, that his word never returned back unto him void until it has accomplished that which was set to accomplish. Therefore, it is not important whether people say it was a great Bible study or it was a great sermon or not.
Yeah.
The Word of God is great all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter where it's coming from.
That's right.
That's what the author is saying. First, he rids us of pride and selfishness, allowing our focus to be on him. Second, we proclaim our love for Christ through our care for one another by the use of the spiritual gift. I share the gospel with you because I love Jesus and what he has done for me and my family and for great many people. Such a wonderful God and Savior. And as he has given me knowledge of life, it is my joy to share it, especially with those whom he sent my way. That should be the motive. And third, God tests and purifies our heart through service. Because as I serve and as you serve, God continues to show our weaknesses and sins. So we don't serve because we are more righteous than anybody outside there. No, one of the reasons to serve is to be exposed before the cross of Calvary. To be transparent with God and to allow his own light of righteousness to shine through us. That's why we serve. We don't serve to get a score so people say, oh, you are such a great guy. We don't serve so we can feel loved. We serve because we are loved. Did you get that? Because if we serve to get love, we still have issues of self-centeredness. Because what is going to happen if you serve and you don't get love? You're going to get upset. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to begin to look down on other people because they are not reciprocating the way you want them to. Wrong way to serve. That's exactly what happened when Jesus was on earth. So he said here, how do you define success? A common response is achieving predetermined goals. Isn't that true? Isn't that how we define success, Josh? That we have achieved some predetermined goals? It's not this way spiritually. Scripture's definition, however, is different. The Lord desired that we discover his plan, obey, and become all that he intended. In other words, for success in the biblical sense, God sets the goals. And it is God through his Spirit that achieves those goals. Oh, tremendous amount of distress is passed. So let us continue, and let us open Romans chapter 12. Keep going. Very good. Romans chapter 12. Here we got an invitation to humble ourselves and to present ourselves freely, joyfully, and thankfully to the one who had received us and redeemed us, and to say, Lord, you love me so much, and I do love you. You have given me a lot, and you still desire me to be your children, your child, and your servant. I know I have nothing good to offer, but since you have called me, here I am. Send me. That is the attitude of gratitude. So how was your last week? If you look at the last week, I want you to examine the high points and the low points. And you will not find it that difficult to discover the reason of the low points. Yourself was too high. That's it. Your own self was too high. And unfortunately, the Spirit of God was too low. And that is a sin of idolatry. You are actually worshiping yourself and others. Okay? So, when you examine the ups and downs of life, it goes very much with what spirit is guiding your life and decisions. Angry? Frustrated? Fearful? In pain, perplexed, lonely, all of these negative emotions, ask yourself the question. If the Spirit of God is within us, and if we are using every gift of life he has given us in simple ways or in big ways, we will overcome all of these negative impulses in our lives. And all the sicknesses that comes with it. So the Apostle Paul here is inviting every believer in Jesus to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I mentioned that reasonable service is not just in church. And that's where the problem is. In many sanctuaries, many people believe that serving God is limited to the service of the sanctuary. Or just in church, whether it is on Saturday or on Sunday, whether it's in a Bible study, whether it's during the week sometime, all of these are part of God's work of service. But if you look at the Bible, people like Joseph and people like Daniel, they were used so mightily to influence Jews and Gentiles on a massive scale at their workplace. And it's kind of sad enough that many Christians rather than taking that spirit with them to the workplace, they just become like the workplace. Mm-hmm. They forgot who got them the job and who placed them there and for what purpose. And therefore, they began to experience the perplexities that other non-believers are experiencing. And the Apostle Paul is warning in the second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in your life. And he continued to give us some advice about how to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. He said, don't think of yourself much higher than what God has given you and made you. And you know, this is perhaps some of the most difficult issues in relationships, and one of the most difficult issues to deal with in churches. When a deacon, an elder, or a song leader, or a pastor, or anyone in the congregation step their boundaries and talk and speak and present themselves and ideas far beyond what God called them to do, it creates what?
Havoc
and conflict. Are you working by the Holy Spirit for the building of the kingdom of God, or are we working with the enemy for the destruction and the trampling of the vineyard of God? A very serious question for us to ask when we are interacting with each other at home, with our families. Okay? Because it all begins there. Or in the workplace. And then in the sanctuary as well. Not to think of ourselves more than what is given to us. You know, kind of, I just explained that to you. It looks ridiculous. It makes us lose credibility and respect in the eyes of all. If I began to assume a gift that is not given to me, that would look quite silly, huh? Especially if the pastor did it, because he's always there visible. But many of the congregation think because they are not that visible, they can go ahead and do it. And it caused great many harm. So the Apostle Paul here said, you know, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, with a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Why not? Enjoy the gift God has given you and share it so mightily. Do you know that many of the songs you choose this morning are prophecies? You remember about 2 weeks ago when we had a message in the song about the storms? And what did I say? I said, be on the alert. God has given you a message to tell you what is about to come this following week. Mm-hmm. Remember, those are messages that will help you out of the storm. And that was prophecy, because it came to pass. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks to us today, it is not just about today. It's about today and tomorrow, because he guides us unto all truth and show us the way. That's prophecy. So the Bible is saying, if you have any of these gifts that the Spirit of God is using, do it with all your heart. But remember, you are the first recipient of the message. The message is for your own need today and tomorrow. And then when you share those songs in the morning, I listen very attentively. I sing along with all my heart. And I absorb every word. Because God used you by His Spirit to speak to me about what I need today and what I need tomorrow. If God has given you such a gift, use it with all your heart. And then he continues, verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches on teaching. You know, can I become a teacher if I just waited till Saturday to open the Bible?
No.
Well, the Holy Spirit is always in control. If I pray and if other people pray, something good is going to come out of the gospel, but I can never become a teacher. You know, people today go and get their credentials. They study lots of subjects. They learn about many different disciplines in this world in order to be well-equipped to teach. You know, if you look at the teachings of Jesus, who is our master teacher, he often used what?
Parables.
And he used living examples to help people relate to the message given and to understand it in its depth. Parents are called to be the first teachers. But if they don't learn, what are they going to teach?
Oh my goodness.
That is why we're having a very perplexed generation. Parents learn from Hollywood movies. Right? They learn from others who are not connected to Christ. They learn from newspapers. They learn from other schools. And they pass that learning to their own kids. And that's why we hear some horrible things. So here it continues to hear to say, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And I love to see that often in Sandra and B, those who are always encouraging others and always thankful for what they are doing and how the Holy Spirit is using them. This is a very important gift. Now, remember, as I shared that example upon that brother who is a teacher, always looking for exhortation.
Wow.
You know, we don't want that. Okay? We don't want to always looking for kudos. The Lord will send us those words of encouragement in time.
Right?
But remember, part of service is help us to deny ourselves and to feel the joy and the strength of being used by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Because if you really die of that, you protect yourself tremendously. As I said before, if you allow mankind to make you, you're making yourself so vulnerable for mankind to break you at any time. And that's what's happening to many sincere believers. They use their gifts, and people applaud them and say, this is wonderful. But then when people stop saying those things, they become discouraged and they don't want to serve. So they kill their gifts. So if you have that gift of encouraging others, continue to use it in all manners of love, humility, and wisdom. And those who give, says, do it with simplicity and cheerfulness of heart. For God loves a cheerful giver. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, you don't show mercy because you want something in return. As I shared with you, I've seen people go into nursing homes to express love and mercy, hoping that they can get someone to sign their will to them. Now, that's a crime. That's a spiritual crime. And it is a legal crime. Okay? When you show mercy towards somebody, it's because God showed mercy to you and you are so happy to express the mercy of God to somebody else. They may exhort you and tell you how wonderful you are. They may give you a hug. They may ask the Lord to bless you, or they may not. Your blessing is still completely guaranteed when we do it with cheerfulness. And then he continued, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You know, none of us have perfect love, isn't that true?
Yeah.
No, because we're human beings, and because we have our fears, our frustration, our hurts, and because we are not fully equipped to deal with every problem in our lives, our love for God and hence for mankind is imperfect. But it should be getting better. If the love of Jesus is in us, we will fear less. We will become frustrated less. We will feel less pain. And when we feel less of these negative emotions, guess what? The positive emotion rise. We feel loved and secure, therefore we love others. And we don't feel threatened by any of their gifts. Isn't that true? Am I threatened by the magnificent power of preaching God has given to other pastors?
No.
On the contrary.
No.
I am rejoicing, thankful to be a recipient. Secondly, I pray for God to mightily use them and protect them and their families.
Right.
As they continue to serve. You don't feel threatened. You feel actually more secure and anchored on the love of Jesus. See, don't let love be without hypocrisy. Okay, love and stay away from evil thinking and evil doing. Why is that? We're all here because all of us are sinners. Isn't that correct? And at times we are very lovable, other times we are loveless. Okay? Sometimes we are really encouraging, and there are sometimes in our own limitation can be discouraging. Right? We're not always optimistic and positive and encouraging and uplifting, and we don't always have mercy and love. Every once in a while we fail. That's why we're here in the sanctuary.
Right.
We're here because we fall short of the glory of God. We're here because we are not righteous and we are seeking more and more of His own righteousness to be shed abroad in our heart as children of the Most High God. So when we come here to surrender oneself to God. I am not here to worry about whether Josh is going to present his gift to God or not, whether Peter will be able to do his part or not. That is not my responsibility. Even as a pastor, and even God has given me the gift of administration and several other gifts, my responsibility is to listen to His voice and do His will in my life and in the life of everyone He sends my way. It is not my responsibility to impose any gifts on anybody because I don't have it to give it. And it is not my responsibility to discourage anybody from seeking after the spiritual gifts. But it is my responsibility to be always ready in season and out of season to share God's blessed love and will through all the spiritual gifts with those who ask and seek and knock at His own door. And you should be in the same category of readiness. And then the Bible continues, say, be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. That's a difficult one too. That's a difficult one, Sandra. Because we are imperfect in love, I don't think we're going to be perfect in affection. Neither do we will always prefer other people over us. Pride will always be an issue. But this is something that we need to pray for. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit place His own love and kindness in our heart. And if I feel that I have to be more important than my brother Ashraf, I have an issue of insecurity. My insecurity is not coming from who Ashraf is and what gift he is being used. It is coming from inside me. I don't feel adequate inside. I feel I am failing somehow. And now Ashraf is succeeding. That makes me more vulnerable. My security is in the Spirit of Christ in me, even when I am inadequate. Even when I am weak, I know through connection with Jesus, His strength can still be made perfect in my weakness. I don't have to be the greatest and the most powerful, eloquent preacher in the world. That's not my goal. My goal is to yield my heart and mind and body and soul for Jesus to use me as He will. where he leads, not where I ought to be. So again, we all have imperfection, and that's why the Apostle Paul said, be careful that when you are given the spiritual gifts of the Spirit, the devil will try to come and work on your weakness. So you need to work harder on your own weakness by turning it to the Lord Jesus every day. Because he began to talk about some of the setbacks and some of the temptation that come upon us when we are gifted by the Spirit. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Sluggardness, laziness. We all suffer from that. But we all suffer in different magnitude. Okay? Some people can take him a whole week before they decide, oh, today is Sabbath, time to serve the Lord.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Others may take them 5 days. Thursday, Friday is coming, preparation day. I must as well get going. Others struggle. You know, Saturday, they are up here. Sunday, they began to drop and go back to conform to the world. Then Monday, problems began to happen and began, uh-oh, something is wrong. I better draw to the Lord a little bit. And then drop. Tuesday, things are going so well. That's my day. I will pray, maybe quickly, but no time to really get knowledge and understanding as to the work of the day ahead of me. Not to surrender all things are going well anyway, so we let our guards down when things are going well. Wednesday, more distress is building up. Boy, I do need to spend time with the Lord. So it is not a consistent relationship with Jesus. And it does affect us directly. It does affect us directly. It's amazing. When you begin your day with true prayer and devotion, you can see the difference by the end of the day if you do not. You will feel it emotionally. You will feel it mentally. Things are not going right. Phone calls are not working out. Business is not getting done. Something is going wrong. And it takes toll on your body. And guess what happened? When all of the things happen, it weighs us so down. It either breaks us completely or it revives us anew. So the Bible is saying, be careful if God have given you spiritual gifts. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You will lose it, but God have to finish his work. With me or without me. It doesn't matter whether I'm going to make the decision to serve him with my gifts or not. I live with consequences, but his work does not stop. He will find another. And those who are laboring so faithfully will be getting new gifts to finish his work. That's how he said. Things are going to work out. I don't want to be among the losers. And I want the Holy Spirit to give me strength and encouragement to always be ready to serve. You know, this is one of those weeks. Last week, I got quite sick, and I felt it Sabbath morning when I was coming to church. I was leaving the house and I felt shivering. And I knew that's a sign. I'm fighting something. I went back and I put a jacket on. I came to church and I began to drink and I prayed a lot. Lord, give me the strength. I really do not want to miss on the blessing today. And the Lord Jesus have given me the strength. I did not feel any pain until the sermon was over. Then I began to feel my body saying, well done, got some rest. You know, and I ate and I went back home. But throughout the time, I've been thinking of all of the ministry that is coming down the road during this week. You know, I have to do this and I promise the Lord to do that. And I don't want to miss on any of these. But the Lord had different plans. I've done the best I can. And I was very much in bed most of the time. I called the chaplain coordinator at Eden Hospital Monday morning. I was really wrestling all night. I said, Lord, I prayed for that before, and you have given me strength before. I don't want to get anybody sick there. If it is your will, just give me health in the morning because I want to continue to exercise those spiritual gifts. They bless me so much as I see you using them to bless others. And I woke up in the morning, not good. And you know, it was a very difficult phone to make. And I called. And I told him that I am recovering, but I am not 100% there. If God give me the strength, I will try to be there late in the afternoon or maybe tomorrow. And I prayed for that. And it was not getting any better. And I got a call back after prayer. And the chaplain coordinator said, no. Do not. Neither today nor tomorrow. So, in our weaknesses, we still do not want to find an excuse. Did you see that? If I am already a lazy Christian, that means I just live my life for me. You're not going to get that far. You're going to just wait for anything to say, no, Lord, I don't want to be in your presence today. Okay? I'm telling you how, when you are truly feeling very sick, how you should fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. God has a purpose. I must show myself willing and ready. Not to forfeit the blessings of God, but it is God who says yes, and it is God who says no. So remember that. Fight that issue of sluggardness, because all of us, listen to this, all of us are quite susceptible to this. I'm too tired. I want to spoil myself and spoil the blessing until they become rotten. And as I shared with you, can beautiful fruits turn rotten? All the time. You can buy the best and the most expensive fruits, and you can leave them unused. What's going to happen to them?
They will spoil.
They will spoil. That's the very reason why the Bible talk about the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We can spoil ourselves rotten by not using the gifts that God has given us spiritually and mentally and physically, socially, emotionally, academically, financially. All of these are gifts from heaven. We don't use it, we lose it. And the Bible is saying we don't have to get there. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Even when I was quite sick, I was wrestling with God to heal me so I wouldn't miss on it. That is the spirit that we ought to possess. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Here it is. It says all of these problems and all of the struggles may take place in our lives, but make sure they don't take root. We can struggle with all of these traits of character. Those are the seeds of sin that we have to wrestle against every day, but make sure they don't take root in our lives. That means they take control over our decisions to lose on the spiritual gifts. And he says here, when you find yourself struggling with all of this, he said, you know, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, but that is not going to work without what? Instant prayer. What was the message this morning in the song service? It was prayer that helps sustain us against all sorrows, all discouragement, and deliver us from all sins and the suffering thereof. Instant in prayer. This means don't keep thinking
right.
Your way out of it in your head.
Just get onto it right now.
Trust me, Satan will be a great help to you.
That's true.
You feel it? You see it?
Go
ahead to him and say it.
Right there.
And surrender it to Jesus.
Right.
And he will provide the substitution. At least you did not allow it to root. It is a very serious problem. It is one thing to struggle with those traits of character. It's another thing to ignore them. They take roots And you will become, as psychology calls it, a pathological liar. Your mind now began to tell you lies, and only you believe it, and you think everyone else believes it. Now, I don't want to get there. The Apostle Paul said, avoid that as a Christian if you be instant in prayer. You're struggling, so are all of us. And God did not give me the authority to condemn me or anybody else who is struggling either. So the Bible said, you know, you're struggling. Don't talk to others about it before you talk to Jesus about it. Maybe that's all you need to do. You know, the prophet Amos said, joy is not my enemy when I fall. For when I fall, the Lord shall raise me up. And if I had committed sin, it shall be forgiven me. Be instant in prayer that your hope be restored. Distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, it is good to share our lives, because when we do so, we forget about ourselves. You know, it's amazing that sometimes, you know, you feel down, you feel, okay, I'm going to go out to dinner, and the Holy Spirit plays someone on your mind. You know, pray. Ask the Lord if it is His will for you to have a blessed communion. And called that someone and said, hey, I thought of you. I'm going to dinner. I would like to invite you to have dinner with me. Did you have dinner yet? The answer to some of your problems may be in that decision that you made. You prayed. You are using a simple gift out of love, because you don't want anything in return. You're going to be paying for it. That's hospitality. You will be amazed what answers to what prayers will be the outcome of that exercise. It says here, be instant. Says, distribute to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now, that's a tough one.
Wow.
That's a tough one. I don't know if I have reached there 100% yet. It takes me a while to ask the Lord to bless and to save those who persecute me and call me all manners of name.
Wow.
I am doing much better today than before, but I am still not there. You know, I go through those negative emotions first, and I feel it in my mind, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit comes to guide me out of that. And once He guides me out of that, I make my decision then. Maybe the Lord send them my way to curse me, and to call me, and to harm me, so I can pay for them, because no one else is. So the Lord is saying, as a saint, exercise the gift and the power of prayer that can transform your life and the lives of others. No need to curse. This means do not allow bitterness and anger to fester into your heart. Take it to the Lord Jesus in prayer. A very healthy way of living. It says, bless them which persecute you and curse not. Because the Bible is saying if you curse others and wish them harm, you're actually destroying the sweet Spirit of God in you.
Oh, no.
Because God is not going to hear that prayer. Kind of very hard for me to pray, Lord, these people are so wicked. Could you please destroy them? When Jesus came and was destroyed to save them. It's hard. It doesn't come. Sometimes in mind I feel, you know, they are so wicked. The world will be much better without them. That's true. But when it comes to asking the Lord, I ask the Lord to save them from their own sins, from their own destructive nature, from Satan's snares, oppression, and position. I ask the Lord to save them, because that's what I want to see. But I also pray unto the Lord to save the rest of us from their wicked and unrepented decisions if they choose to. So I ask the Lord to bless, not to curse. And that is the way it can be done. And verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That is quite an art. At times it is easier to rejoice with people than to weep with people, isn't that true? But we have problems in both ways. Sometimes we don't know how to rejoice in a godly way. And sometimes we fail to weep in a godly way. You know, I was listening to Lisa expressing her deepest grief of the loss of the cat. And really, I have listened to several of you trying the best you can to comfort her with words. The intents were pure and good. But there is a time to speak and a time to be silent. We are not God. We are not the Holy Spirit. I want to teach you something. When someone is grieving, let them grieve. This is not time to speak. You can, if you're going to say something like that. I can't imagine how you feel. Don't say, I know how you feel.
They know that you know you, so you don't.
You don't. You don't. Don't say, I know how you feel. See, I can't imagine how you feel, and allow them to express their fears, their hurts, their frustration. Because if we speak, you are trying to fix a problem that you are not called to fix. Grieving is a serious issue. And there will be a time for you and I to speak. But the good news is this. When you speak, God knows the ends of your heart. Okay. If the words you speak is not exactly the words that will bring comfort, the Lord will still reward you for the intents of your heart. But we got to learn the power of the use of the gift of knowledge in a proper time. Okay? Because when people grieve, loss of loved ones, I also want you to know this, they go through four stages. And I'm not talking about Lisa now. Okay, all of us lost loved ones, and God give us all grace and patience. No one wants to lose loved ones, but just in case, people go through four phases of grief. The first one is the most difficult one, is denial. I don't think it happened. I wish they can return.
Wow.
It is very hard for the heart and mind and soul to disconnect. Many years of connection, okay? That is grieving. So they go through a struggle day in and day night. And during this time, really, you want to give them space to sort it out in their own heart. Just be there to listen. Some people spend a day or two in denial. And then they go into acceptance and deal with the pain and the grief thereof. Some people take them 2 to 3 years in denial. They are not ready at this time to be preached to. They are not ready to be told how they should live their life. And trust me, I have seen good, well-meaning people causing greater hurt to those who are grieving because they want them to move on. Simply because they are unable to handle how someone else is grieving. And rather than saying that, saying, you know, you need to move on. So, it depends on what's going on in people's heart. The first phase of denial can take a day. It can take years. Secondly, go through acceptance. Acceptance is very difficult because now you have to settle with the facts. And I'm going to focus only on Christians when they grieve, okay? I'm not going to go to non-Christians because all of us are striving to be Christ-like. When they go through acceptance, this is the time when words of wisdom and prayer may be helpful, but ask yourself the question, are you given the gift of knowledge to speak? Or are you given the gift of listening? And are you giving the gift of prayer? You pray for them, and if they say, please pray for me, because now I'm finally accepting the fact that my loved ones is not returning. The gift of hospitality can be used, and I saw many wonderful sincere Christians going out of the way, shopping for those who are grieving, make food for them. That's the gift of hospitality. So ask the Lord what gift is given to you to help someone grieving. After acceptance become the process of true grief. That is crying, weeping, mourning, letting all of these bottled up emotion come out in a healthy way. Being bottled in create lots of problems in life. Releasing them the healthy way is the process of grief. And after the process of grieving and mourning is completed, then they reach the point of recovery. And hopefully, as Andrea read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, hopefully that the outcome of this sorrowful experience will bring about what? For our light affliction, which is but for a time. How long that time is, it depends on us and our relationship with God. For our light affliction, which was for a time, shall work for us an exceeding rich and weight of glory. For we look not at the things that are seen now, but the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, and we must go through them. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I just give you a little elaboration on that so you can understand the magnitude of that. And sometimes we rejoice with people the right and the wrong ways. If you're going to rejoice or weep, make sure you're guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay, there are some activities that I'm invited in to rejoice with people that I do not attend. Because it is not according to the blessed word of God. Okay? And there are some activities that I don't attend because I have another calling, but I pray for God to bless those who are rejoicing. And there is a rejoicing that I attend, as God calls me to attend, to be a partaker of the joy and the blessing. Make sure it is the Spirit of God that is guiding you unto all truth and showing you the way. And then verse 16, it says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. That is pretty loaded. You know, how can we be of the same mind? Bible said, let this mind be in you, in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, taking a form of a servant, even though he's God. So how can we be of the same mind when it comes to our spiritual gifts? Very good. When I look at all of your gifts, they are gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are not my gifts. I recognize that I will fall and I will not be perfect every day. And I am in dire need of the saving grace of Jesus every day. He still loves me. He still saves me. He still blesses me. And he still upholds me. It is my responsibility to have the same mind toward you. Did you get this? You will fall. You will struggle. You will go up, you will go down. I have to think of you in the same way Christ thinks of me. That I got to pray for you, to encourage you, to support you, not to condemn you, not to discourage you, and not to try to hold you back from following Jesus. That's what the Bible meant by that. We're all sinners in need of the saving grace and love of Jesus. Wouldn't that be a better home, a better church, a better place to work? When you know that you can become vulnerable and no one is going to condemn you and choke you. When we have that attitude, how much fears will be there? Fears will diminish. It will not completely disappear. But our fears of one another and of punishment and what if will be reduced. Therefore, our frustration with each other will be reduced because now we know. I am imperfect. She's an imperfect. He's an imperfect. Everyone is not perfect. Therefore, I will look at them through the mind of Jesus. And there will be less pain and less frustration because my goal for myself is constant growth and deliverance and salvation. And therefore, my goal for you is the same. I think it becomes very difficult when we don't have the same mind. Right? When I wish Robin all the blessings of heaven and the blessings of deliverance every day, I'm sure Dan wish her the same.
Right.
If I wish you all of this and I strive for it every day and my mind is so alert in Christ Jesus, and that you wait for me just to make a mistake. And you began to point at that mistake. Didn't I tell you? Da, 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 da. Whose mind is that? The destructive mind. And that mind comes because if I have that mind coming to be and coming to you and trying to tell you, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Now you got to do something about it. Actually, I do not want and refuse to deal with my own problems. And now I want to live them through you. That is why we have conflicts. That's why churches have conflicts. The Apostle Paul said, man, you can have such a blessed communion as struggling sinners and as saints, guided by the Holy Spirit. If you have that same mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, toward one another.
And what a blessing that is. In all counseling, that is really what we look for. Where is the state of mind? Do they have that agreement in Jesus at all? You can get along the most evil boss at work. You can, if you use that principle.
The Lord will handle him or her from the inside out every day. No harm will befall you. If you go there to exercise your spiritual gift, to bless your employer, to do your work as Joseph and as Daniel and other servants have done, regardless of how rude, disrespectful, unhappy, unjust, unfair your boss is, if that mind which was also in Christ Jesus is in you, all the forces before you will be defeated. It's a blessing to have that mind. And then it continues here, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Okay, you know, every once in a while someone is going to think evil, is going to do evil to me, or perhaps capitalize on my weakness to do me evil. I have the spiritual gifts of the Spirit, and I have the instructions, and I have Jesus. Say, don't. I saw what happened. I saw who did it. I saw why he or she did it. If you trust me, I'll handle it better than you can. I want you to turn them to me. What a release that is. What a release that is. I was reading one of the horrible stories back home in Egypt about two thieves, motorcycle thieves. Their speciality is to drive around and to look for kids who are wearing gold.
Oh my goodness.
And they have grabbed so many necklaces from kids' necks and so many gold out of the rings.
Wow.
Out with the fingers.
Wow.
And finally, they were on duty on that day. And they went and grabbed the necklace of a child. And someone saw them. And they tried to escape. And someone screamed. And they got caught. And they were right close to the police station.
Oh.
It is perfect because it saved their lives. Because everyone was hearing about those thieves, and no one can catch them because they didn't know who they are. Now that they got caught, the newspaper said the police came out, arrested them, but 800 people were standing at the police station refusing to let the cops take them in. They wanted to kill them with their own hands. Our souls, they are saying, will not be satisfied unless we take vengeance on them with our own hands. I thank God Almighty that it has to be the Holy Spirit who convinced the chief to come and convince the people, please trust us.
Right.
We will make sure they get justice for what they have done. And I thank the Lord that the story say that the people let go.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying here, recompense to no man evil for evil. Okay? And then he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, what a blessing that is, even though it is sometimes mission impossible. Mm-hmm. How can you live peaceable with someone who constantly disagree with you? Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Very good. And if you will voice an opinion, voices to who? To Jesus Christ in prayer, who will understand your hurts, your fears, your concerns, your frustration, your desires. And he alone able to give you peace and to handle the other individual. And trust me, I don't always succeed there myself. It takes me a while. And as I shared this morning with Eric and the rest of you, when we take things in our hand, it does affect our emotion, it does affect our mind, and it affects our body. And I know when I violated the word of God in dealing with conflict, and I resorted to my own ways and means, it affected my physical health and well-being. So we learn that the ways of Jesus are the ways of life, if it possible. As Sandra said, there's a time to speak and time to be silent. If the conflict is heated and no one is ready to listen, it's better to be silent. Keep distance and spend time in prayer. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Do you know of anyone who can handle that better than Jesus can? I don't like to retaliate.
You don't?
I don't. Because, you know, I've done that in the past as a teenager growing up. We got hurt. You want to hurt someone really bad. If you have a little bit of the heart of Jesus in you, and when you go back and hurt that somebody very bad, will you feel better about it?
No.
You don't. So it is a losing campaign. It's a losing campaign. And then you have to live now with the fear that someone else is going to retaliate back. It's a vicious cycle. Jesus said, let me handle that on your behalf. These ways are better than our ways. And as the heaven are high from the earth, the Bible says, so are his ways from our ways, and his thoughts from our thoughts. And trust me, what I have tried in my lifetime, when I prayed, whoa, marvelous things beyond my own imagination took place. And you will never rejoice when your enemy falls. At that heated moment, you may want to do something hard. But if you take it to the Lord in prayer, the Lord can change heart and mind and character and can change life, and that we pray for. And sometimes you will hear somehow that their own ways have found them. And you will find them hurting very badly the consequences of their own choices at that very moment. You will have such compassion in your heart to pray for them more. You are not going to rejoice over their faults, because Christ is in you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's a promise. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on their head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I shared with you my story on Kelly Hill. How these guys were irking me every morning when I went to take the bus, making fun of me, ridiculing me, trying to start problems with me, and I took it silently with great pain. But when they needed help, when he needed 25 cents extra for a bus ticket, and all the people looked at him, you deserve it, we're not going to, even the bus driver told the passengers, don't give him anything. I said, get out of my car. I was led to give him the 25 cents. It saved my life. It saved my brother Nagas. And it did change his heart and mind and attitude toward me. And it did instill in him the seeds of faith that his mother was praying for all of these years. Do not fight evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. We can do it only through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, as we daily yield our hearts, our mind, our bodies and soul, all the gifts that God has given us for the use of His Spirit and for the honor and the glory and the love of His name in our life and through us unto all. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together if you're able? Lord Jesus, thank you for saving our souls from our own sins, from our destructive nature and evil habits. Thank you for saving us from Satan and not allowing him to capitalize on our weaknesses to harm us or harm our families or loved ones in any way. We give you our life to be hidden within you, as if within the cliff of the rock of all ages, until all the storms and the battles of life have passed by. And until then, and for every day, we ask that your Holy Spirit, who have given us all of these gifts in life and give us a journey with you here on earth to lead to eternity, complete that work in all righteousness in us, for us, and through us unto all the days of our life on earth until our names have been sealed in the book of life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.